All of the views and opinions expressed here are those of the individual speaking and may not be representative of Coding American. At times, language may be considered vulgar. Listener discretion is suggested.
You are now listening to the Coding Behind the Wheel podcast.
What's going on? Welcome to another episode of Wheel Wednesday. I'm Scott from Coding. That is Dal from Coding. And I don't know. Hope you're having a good week. What's up with you?
Same old, different
day. Pretty much. So before we get into this, if you wouldn't mind throwing us a like, subscribe, click the notification bell, do all that good stuff. It not only makes us feel better, but it helps the environment.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay. Paperless. So with that said, we're going to get right into today's topic, and it's more of a PSA, I think, this time than in some of the other podcasts. And it was a real good example that happened around here recently, and I thought that it was something that you should hear even if you're not the one installing your own wheels.
Yep.
Right? And for people that are installers and happen to be listening to this, there are a couple key points here that as long as we're running through, take note of. So let me start out with a little backstory. We get a phone call not too long ago from one of our customers, and he's saying that he's having a problem with a customer who has went into a local dealership, but the guy's super knowledgeable about wheels and tires.
Yep.
And he's having a problem getting wheels to balance.
Yes.
Okay. So we go through the usual type of things, and he says, nope, the wheel's calling for too much weight. So they dismount the tire and spin the wheel on its own. Now, generally, the reason you would do this is to identify and isolate the problem. Sometimes you'll get a tire that may have a bad belt in it, or if you're transferring over used tires, there may be some damage to the inner structure of the tire that could essentially create a heavy or a light spot within the tire. And sometimes, you know, you'll have like a heavy spot in certain part of the wheel, and if you mate them together, you may just get this
just thrown off.
Right. Yeah. Where it's just like, you know, really just caught like the perfect storm and you catch a lot of weight. But what makes this issue a little bit different is he's saying this is happening on like 3 out of 4 wheels.
Yeah.
Right? And so that doesn't make sense. Now, the one thing is, you know, not only is casting and flow forming technology just gotten so good, but all of our stuff is QC'd pretty heavy. So when we hear somebody make a phone call and their thing is that they're suspecting that they have multiple out-of-round wheels, like, just doesn't happen.
No, never.
Right. So, and, you know, Doubt's on the phone, you know, way more than I am. Mm-hmm. I'm never on the phone, really. But, like, but he's on the phone all day long, you know, and he listens to a lot of these things, and there's really not too many – since you've been here – I mean, you've been here for what now?
Almost a year.
Yeah.
It's been almost a year, guys.
How many times do you think you've had that phone call where legitimately – I don't know that we've probably had
any time we've had that phone call. It's always been something that's
caused it,
not the actual wheel itself.
Right. Like, so in other words, an example of something causing a wheel to be out of round would be driving through a pothole or bending one of your wheels or something
or
that effect.
Just not properly balanced. I've actually had that one.
Yeah, we don't really get that all too much, and I think that's just because for the most part, the machines and the technology, especially for mounting and balancing equipment, has just gotten so good that, you know, even the guys using some of the older machines, they've just been using their machine for a million years. So they're really very good at it. So for the most part, we really don't get that call too much either.
Yeah, no, not
you know?
That much.
But we get this call, and they're saying that there's three out of five –
yeah,
three out of five flow form wheels are balancing out, and they're calling for way too much weight, as in there's an outer round wheel. Now, what makes this difficult is we're on the phone, so we can give the best suggestions in the world, and we can give you everything that seems really common that we know people struggle with, but we physically can't
do anything through the phone.
Right, and we can't detect and kind of solve the problem ourselves because we're not there.
Not there.
Right.
So the best thing we can say is that we're not there and this can't do really much on the phone.
Right. Now, this is a tricky situation in the sense that when you buy wheels mail order, you don't – or when you buy wheels on the internet, the person that sent you the wheels is often not the installer.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times with our warranty policy, we'll say to you, oh, if you suspect a warranty issue, go back to the dealer or whatever, and they'll be able to contact us. And we do that for a couple reasons. One is that we're trying to make sure that when you go back, you have a knowledgeable person in front of you that can walk through the issue and make a phone call to us, and we can work with them to kind of be their – they can be our eyes and ears, but we can walk them through it, and they can kind of say – all right, this is what I think. You know, we can help them narrow down the problem.
Exactly.
Now, this was different in the sense that, you know, they went to a car dealer.
Yeah.
Now, the car dealer, again, had a very knowledgeable staff and good equipment. So so this isn't a knock to
– no, definitely not a knock.
Right. So this person goes to the dealership.
Yep.
And after they make the conclusion – that, you know, 3 out of 5 wheels are coming up, you know, totally off.
Yeah, where it's a lot of weight.
They say, there's something wrong with these wheels. Mm-hmm. We want to send them back. Now, the interesting part for us is, like, if, God forbid, there was some issue with a run of wheels, we want to know about it.
100%.
So we decide, you know, hey, just, you know what? Let's take the wheels back for inspection.
Yeah. So we inspected them.
That's right.
And we found a couple of key points.
Right.
To why they were coming out of balance and needing a lot of weight.
Right.
Should I pop up the wheel?
1 second. So, all right. There's sometime is this gray area where it doesn't, it's not about that you don't, that you go to an installer that doesn't have the right amount of knowledge, but you go with an installer that their primary job may not be wheels and tires. Mm-hmm. Or you go to somebody, and even though they're very knowledgeable in what they do, they come up something that they haven't seen before, and something occurs, that X factor, that creates a situation that that gives them a bad result, right? And that's kind of what happened here.
Yeah.
So, all right, now let's pop off the wheel.
Now let's pop off the wheel.
So strong.
Very strong, man.
So strong. All right. So the reason we use this wheel is, if you can see in here, I don't know if you can because there's nobody behind the camera, but you can see that they've already tried. This is clearly one of the wheels that they were concerned about, and they've already tried. Yeah, point that out for me. Throw his finger in there. And you can see the long line of tape that would have been on the back of the wheel weights when they're trying to balance the wheel. Now, there's a couple things here, but we're not going to even get into that part. But so basically what happens, we got these wheel weights, and you can see that they needed a long strip of them. So clearly they were trying to balance out an issue. So this wasn't a lie. Right. This wasn't one of those ones where I just saw something that scares me a little bit. So this wasn't one of those ones that, was, you know, oh, we're just saying this because we don't want the wheels. No, this is not what happened. They clearly tried to balance out the issue. Now, the next thing is that, they're saying, hey, look, it's just calling for too much weight, you know? And so now it comes down to an issue where we're thinking, like, how could it be this much weight, like, without the wheels being bent? But you look at the condition of these wheels and they're new.
Pretty much,
like,
brand new, yeah.
Yeah, they're new. So this, you know, they may have been on the car for a drive around town, but they were, these weren't abused in any way. The wheels are perfectly round and all that stuff. So what could have occurred here? Well, there's a few indications. Well, as soon as we open these wheels up, there's a few indications that we can use to kind of try to figure it out. The first thing is, whenever a wheel doesn't balance, Could it be because of I just lost my train of thought. But could it be because the wheel's an out of round, like a bend? Absolutely. But when you start to add in a lot of weight, usually what you're talking about is, if it's not the wheel, it has to be something within the balancing procedure.
Yes.
Now, the same way a wheel needs to sit flat to the hub of a car to be hub centric. The wheel, when it goes onto a balance, on a balancer, needs to also be hub-centric, meaning that the wheel is perfectly centric and doesn't have the ability to travel in an elliptical pattern. When the wheel travels in an elliptical pattern, it's always going to produce an area where it says this is the heavy spot, because that the part where it now oscillates down is going to become that part that's out of balance, and it's going to try to balance that. So what kind of things could have occurred that a perfectly good wheel could have multiple wheels that basically call for too much weight even without the tire?
Yep.
And that really comes down to the balance, and it comes down to how the wheel was presented and installed onto the wheel balancer. A wheel balancer has these metal cones. And, you know, you could do it from the front or the back, but, I mean, for the most part, we tend to like to do them from the back because that's, you know, what, if you're going to have any scratches or mars or anything like that.
Better off on the back than the front.
Right, exactly. So we're climbing in here, and let me see if I can find watch, oh, this probably won't be the wheel. Yeah, so you can kind of see it, and it's tough. I don't know if I can get in here. Maybe I'll make Alex shoot a little closer later, but right in this area here, you can see, like, there's almost like a like an area where the cone was a little bit tighter to one side of this bore, and that's like kind of like the first indication, right? And so one of the things that can happen is, and I'm going to put Alex on the spot, and I'm going to make him find this spot. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to wave to Alex in the camera, and then this way when he edits this, he could put in this video. So when the wheel came back, we could put this down because the example is going to be in the video. So when the wheel came back, the first thing we did was grab the wheels, and we queued them up on a balancer, and that's the video that Alex is going to put in for you right here. Now, what you can see in this video is that the cone, and watch the cone. The cone that is commonly used here is it's just a little too deep. Mm-hmm. So when you put it into the back of the center bore, what's happening is it bottoms out on where the center bore kind of ends, where the cap would attach to.
Yeah.
And there leaves just enough wiggle room.
A little bit of wiggle room to where?
To that cone can kind of oscillate up and down. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it would be if you weren't paying attention, or if you weren't expecting that to happen, like you didn't look and see if the cone bottomed out, you could tighten that thing up on the machine and all of a sudden it's going to
go everywhere.
And that's why the wheels were calling for so much weight. So when we get this wheel back, and we put it on the balancer, the first thing we do is we try the cone size that we were pretty sure that somebody was using, because you could see the marks from the back. Yeah. We know that they were going from the back. And so there's two ways around this. In this given situation with this given wheel, you could have went from the front, and they could have used a really small cone that has a steep angle. They would have went into the front, then they would have put another cone on it and tightened up the clamp.
Tightened it up.
That would have gotten it correctly. If you were going from the back, you would just need to make sure that you were using a cone that had a good taper that pushed through the center bore, or allowed it to a bigger cone that allowed it to basically center itself into the center bore and not, you know, it was the right size, that it would actually get, you know, it would stop on the actual outer edge of the center bore.
Yep.
Right?
Exactly.
And by doing that, when you spin the wheel comes out
pretty off balance.
Well, no, the wheel, well, when you put it in the right
when
cones.
When you put in the right cones and push it in, all, yes, it comes back balanced. Comes
right,
back correct.
It came back pretty good. There's always going to be, whenever you spin a wheel, there's always usually going to be a little call for weight, and that's totally acceptable. I know there's a lot of retailers out there, they use a number of 1% of the total weight package. You know, I could try to put up an example, but my math is not going to be awesome. But basically, like, let's say you're just spinning the wheel itself. Usually, it would go by wheel and tire package. So if you put up a wheel and tire package that was, you know, 30 pounds, it'd be 1% of the 30 pounds would be allotted for how much weight would be called for, right? So you take that 30 pounds. You would, you know, multiply that into ounces, and then you would divide. you would get that into ounces and then multiply by 1%.
Yes.
And that amount of ounces would technically be allowed. But truth is, most of these wheels are so good, they wouldn't call for that kind of weight anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, look, the point of this story here is, and Alex would have already put the video in, but the point of the story here is, when sometimes, the same way you'll hear that expression, when things seem to be like too good to be true, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like one of those things. When things seem to be coming up just all across the board wrong, look for that other situation. Because this is a person that unfortunately thinks that they had a bad experience with our product.
But
in reality
it was,
they had an installer that just missed a detail that kept them from properly balancing out the wheels. It's irrelevant who it is. Mistakes happen. It's not the end of the world. And honestly, we're more relieved that, this isn't an issue.
Yeah, thank God.
We don't get this call almost ever. But this was one of those ones where the wheel and tire installer probably has mounted a lot of different wheels, maybe a lot of OE wheels, maybe mm-hmm. a lot of, tire replacements and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And maybe he's even done his fair share of aftermarket wheels, but the brands that he's spent a lot of time with,
mm-hmm.
they may have a very standard type of thing that always worked for them.
Yeah.
And this is the one time that what they did was just overlooked a detail. And so this is one of those ones that gets really tricky because on the first bout of this,
mm-hmm.
if he would have had an issue and then – I'm like, what the heck is going on? Why would all three wheels be bad? Why would three out of five wheels be bad? Now, first off, it's a fluke. I think if you were to rebalance. Well, because I really believe that you take the two wheels that they said were good.
Uh-huh.
I believe if he would have respun those wheels could have potentially come up bad too. Because
most likely.
It has nothing to do with the actual wheel. It has everything to do with just the luck of the draw of where that cone settled when he tightened the clamp.
100% on that.
Yeah. So, I think, if that would have come back and he would have taken the time and he would have been like, well, what could be? And he put the cone in and he went, you would have seen that there was movement there. And that movement.
A little bit of play.
Right.
Will ruin your day. Well, it kind of, did that rhyme?
Were you going for that?
No, but it kind of just worked. So, guys, so we'll go with it. Let's go.
Yeah. So, look, that's more of a, I don't know that this was a. Whatever. I think it's a PSA in the sense that, when you go and bring your stuff to a wheel installer or one of these tire installers, if something feels out of the realm, it may not always be – like don't just run to blame
the don't, product. Sometimes, don't jump to conclusions.
Yeah, sometimes it's right there. And, unfortunately – I feel badly because I think the customer thinks he had a bad experience with our product, and I also think that there was definitely some aggravation for our dealer, which is unfortunate. And I'm sure that there was aggravation on the dealer. The installer that he went to.
Yeah, the dealer, the installer, they probably were very aggravated that they
because the wheels were coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it from his. I mean, yes, he may have. Technically been the one that was responsible for the error,
mm-hmm.
but he didn't do it with any malintent, right?
No.
He didn't want to hurt this, and most likely he didn't even get paid for that second mount
for
and bounce
that time.
So he spent a lot of time probably going through this whole thing trying to diagnose it, dismounting tires, mounting mm-hmm. tires, and doing this whole thing, and at the end of the day it didn't really benefit him. So and then, unfortunately, he's got his own probably sour taste as well. And the unfortunate part of this whole thing is just that one little, miss of not looking to make sure that the cone actually was perfectly centric and
mm-hmm.
and was actually bottoming out against the center bore and not mm-hmm. and not actually sitting in the hole where it got stuck and it didn't really allow it to be perfectly centric.
Too much play.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, it definitely sucks.
Anyhow, keep this in mind when you're running through things and when you're having issues, and also keep in mind when you choose wheel and tire installers, anybody maybe can mount a wheel and tire, but when you have an issue, the guys that have an enormous amount of experience are going to be the ones that are going to, you know, kind of walk right out of a problem without you even knowing about it.
Yep.
Just because they have that much experience, you know?
Experience is key.
Like when Doubt mounts his, you know, his 18 by 10s with his 105 tires.
No, 225.
Right, much better.
Much better. Much better.
You know, he does that, and he has to use a trained professional.
Got to use a trained professional. There's some people that won't touch it, which, I'm not going to lie, they probably shouldn't. If they don't want to touch it, I'd rather them not touch it.
This got bad.
This got bad.
This got bad.
No, not that bad.
So anyhow, so with that said, you know, SEMA 360 is coming up next week. I don't know if anybody is going to be attending it as far as that's watching the podcast, but if you are, feel free to click a button and say hello.
Say hi.
Weird. We are also working on coming out with some teasers and some different things so that we could show you some new product. It won't be next week, I don't believe, although there will be a teaser that I'm positive will be circulating next week, which mm-hmm. is pretty pumped. It's the thing we've been teasing you with for a few weeks.
It's almost time, guys. Almost time.
To hear what the thing we've been working on for a while is. And we are planning, including our boy Alex, that you may meet one day soon, we are planning on trying to get a day that we're going to create a live stream event. Hopefully we can get some people to come on that you guys know. We could do some fun remote stuff, and we could introduce you to some products. I'd imagine that's coming in the next month or so, but stay tuned. Also, help us get to 100K over on Instagram. This is ridiculous already. We have been stalled.
Like, share, comment, anything you guys can do.
Yeah.
Please.
Tell your friends.
Tell your friends. Tell your mom. Tell your dad.
Oh, nice.
Everybody follow.
Bring in the family.
Bring the whole family.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Gonna have a good time.
Yeah. Anyhow, so I think that's been it for this one, and I guess from the both of us here, obviously I'm the more good-looking one, as was pointed out.
It was pointed out. Apparently I'm less manly.
He's more of a troll is what I think he was.
Well, a troll? I don't know about a troll.
No?
No. It was saying that I was the less manly Scott. I see you out there. I know who you are.
I mean, it sounds about right.
If Scott was European, you know.
European? I mean, I guess technically I'm a little... All right, yeah, listen.
Either way.
If you think I'm the more manly one, just go ahead and leave it down below.
It's all right.
And,
just give me a follow. Tell me... You could tell me behind Scott's back. It's all right.
Follow.
A follow. Give me a... Slide into my DMs. You guys... You don't have to lie to Scott all the time. It's okay.
Anyhow. So that's it for this week. Make sure you tune in for the live stream. We go live on Instagram and Facebook every Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern. We will see you there later, hopefully. And that's it.
That's
so take care of yourself, and we'll catch you later.
Later.